Hardware, Muscadet Mini Mart, Arneson Service and Repair, Meister Log and Lumber, Pratt Funeral Service, and People's Community Bank.
Bax Hybrids.
Ain't nothing like it. Hey, let's go be the best.
At Bax, we are and will remain farmers at heart. Coming up, scores and highlights from around the state, plus reaction, analysis, and more.
You see my hand up?
Now, here's your hosts, Chuck Freeman and Dan Pfeiffer.
All right, final hour of the show here on Football Friday Night. That's Dan Pfeiffer. I'm Chuck Freeman. Good to have you along here on a Football Friday Night in the first round of the high school football playoffs.
Yeah, glad we got that straight, too.
What's that, you and I?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got phone lines messed up. We got this, so why not? Who knows? Chris Learman from Bayport Radio. Division One, second seed at Bayport, facing seventh seed at Milwaukee Tech. Bayport having no problems with Milwaukee Tech tonight. 56-14, Bayport. Another blowout win, Chris.
Yeah, the Trojans come out, they get the football, and the weird first possession where there was like four or five different penalties, but the Trojans get a 34-yard touchdown pass to Paul O'Neill to take a 6-0 lead, but then too much Bayport. They get a one-play drive to take a lead 7-6. They get a three-play possession to go up two scores. They end up scoring 56 straight points, and they come away with a 56-14 win.
Very good. Thanks, Chris. Chris Learman from Bayport Radio. And Bayport moves on into the next round.
A lot of folks thought that Marquette bracket kind of fell pretty easy for Marquette, Bayport, Sheboygan North, and De Pere because there were four city conference schools that ended up in there. And sure enough, the four city conference schools all lost. So next week, you will get Marquette against De Pere and Sheboygan North, who was a six seed, had to travel to Reagan, but did win 42-8 tonight, taking on Bayport, who won again tonight, 56-14.
Eighth seeded Fond du Lac head at the top seeded Franklin in Division One tonight. Nick Van Knocker from KFIZ. Nick was on the sidelines watching this. It was a 7-7 game. Midway through the second quarter, and then the floodgates open, and that was that, and there went Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin, you had to play your best game of the season if you're Fond du Lac in order to beat Franklin, and they played a pretty darn good game, but Franklin is a juggernaut. They scored in every single possession except for one in this football game. Their running back, Robert Beglinger, scored three touchdowns. Their tight end, Burgess, also had three touchdowns in the football game. Franklin showed why they are number one seed, and they defeated Fond du Lac tonight, 42-27.
Very good, Nick. And the number one seed and the number one ranked team, Franklin, who was a semifinalist last year, moves on 42-17 over Fond du Lac.
Not much of a surprise there. Franklin will go up against Muskego, and Fond du Lac, man, they had such a tough schedule this season. Of course, they draw a tough first-round opponent as an eighth seed. Maybe next year they'll just want to lighten up some of their non-conference opponents, maybe at least.
Division 4, fifth-seeded Little Chute at fourth-seeded Appleton Xavier. Not much travel in this one. Appleton Xavier wins 21-14 over Little Chute. Jonathan Krause, our affiliate, the score in Appleton, called this one tonight. Jonathan.
Hey, guys, if you enjoy interceptions, I had the game for you because there were eight interceptions in our game tonight. Little Chute's defense forced to two of those, and Xavier's defense forced six of those, including one that went for a pick six that really turned the momentum of the game. Little Chute jumped out to an early 14-0 lead, but then Xavier responded with 21 consecutive points. Now, despite turning the ball over six times, Little Chute still had the ball with time left on the clock, about 42 seconds. And then on the final play of the game, second to final, last game of the play of the game, an interception, the sixth of the game, thrown by Little Chute at the one-yard line as Xavier hangs on for a 21-14 win.
Very good, Jonathan. Jonathan Krause with the score. Xavier moves to the second round, Dan.
They will take on Winneconne, also in that bracket. Berlin and Mayville get victories. Eight interceptions, Chuck. You know, Xavier and Little Chute both wear navy blue. Maybe they were getting their colors confused or something.
Wow. I mean, eight interceptions in a game. I mean, you're lucky if you see eight passes in a game sometimes.
Yeah.
Sean Davis from Wisconsin State Journal. Lodi and Wisconsin State, Wisconsin Dells on action in Division 4 tonight. Sean, how did this one end up?
It was a real solid defensive effort from Lodi in the second half. Dells scored with under 30 seconds left to cut it to 24-14 before the break and then come out of halftime with the ball. sniff the red zone, and then a penalty and back-to-back long sacks put him behind midfield and just completely set the tone for Lodi. Got two more scores, and that sets up a matchup of reigning state champs next week against Aquinas.
Very good. Sean Davis from the Wisconsin State.
Apologies if I'm spoiling.
Good job tonight, Sean Davis. Back from from paternity leave, by the way.
Good. Hey.
And congratulations, Sean.
Indeed. And as mentioned, Lodi will go up against Aquinas next week. That bracket went chalk. Also, West Salem will take on Columbus 3-2.
Wade Bates, who's seen his share of paternity leave over the years, he never takes a day off. Division II, fifth seed at Beaver Dam, a conference champ, a 5-seed. Well, they travel to fourth seed at Menasha tonight. They beat Menasha 35-21. This is another one of those games, Wade, where you looked at it and say, wow, how's Beaver Dam, a conference champ, going on the road for week one?
Yeah, they took it personal against Menasha, you know, who's won the state championship in Division II, and they, you know, set the tone early, Chuck. They took the opening kickoff, drove 65 yards, punched it in. Menasha countered with a long touchdown pass, but Parker Blank housed the kickoff, 78 yards to go up 14-7. Beaver Dam never trailed. Eli Bryant ran for two, passed for two, and Beaver scored on every possession until the final kneel down tonight. Menasha had no answer as Beaver Dam wins and moves on for the first time since 2011.
Very good. And they won their first conference championship last week since 1983. Another milestone this week. Wade Bates from DailyDodge.com and ESPN Radio, our affiliate in Beaver Dam. Beaver Dam 35-21 over Menasha.
They're the only seed-wise upset in that bracket. They will go up against Kekana. Yeah, Beaver Dam as a 5, Oconomowoc as a 6. And by the way, Oconomowoc lost to Racine Case tonight. Oconomowoc, a co-champion in the Classic 8, and yet Maguanago, with two losses in the Classic 8, ends up as number 2. I think strength of schedule may be overweighted in the WIAA computer formula, because Oconomowoc beats Brookfield Central. Maguanago loses to Marquette. Brookfield Central makes it as an 8. Marquette is a 1 seed in a different bracket in Division 1. That's the only thing I can come up with, and it still doesn't fully make sense to me, Chuck.
So Oconomowoc gets beat. We're all complaining all week. Why is Oconomowoc one of the toughest conferences in the state, the Classic 8 Conference? Why are they a 6 seed? And they get beat in the first round.
Well, but yeah, they're also going on the road against a very tough Racine Case team that was 8-1 this season. If they're a higher seed, if they're playing at home, maybe it's a different story. That's part of the dialogue with all of this, Chuck.
All right, let's bring in Colton Wilson from Wisports.net. He's at the Quick Trip Wisconsin Dairy Game of the Week. Racine Case wins this one, Colton, over Oconomowoc. Tell us about it.
Yeah, there really wasn't much to talk about in the first half. We went into that first half scoreless, tied, 0-0. Oconomowoc had a couple chances to score. They sustained a couple long drives in that first half, but just couldn't punch it in. In the second half, Oconomowoc came out. They got a 26-yard touchdown pass and then followed it up about 6 minutes later with a 1-yard touchdown plunge. Oconomowoc took a 14-0 lead with three minutes left in the third quarter, but then the Case team came alive. They responded in four plays to bring the score within 14-7 with 2:10 left in the third. The very next Oconomowoc possession, Racine Case blocked a punt, deflected a punt. Case went back down, scored on a 13-yard slant with 11-16 left. It was tied at 14s. Case got the ball back, and then they connected on a 25-yard field goal to go up 17-14 with 8:27 left. Looked like it was going to be a close game at that, mm-hmm. right? But Case forces another Oconomowoc punt. They connect on a 45-yard touchdown pass after calling a timeout and going to ice the game. There's 2:40 left. Case is now up 10. They get an interception, and then they finish the scoring off with a 57-yard touchdown run by Malachi Echols to go up 31-14 with 2:03 left. Oconomowoc did score another touchdown late, but that was it, 31-21.
Wow.
Case scores the win.
Got a can at the Case, though, getting the win, 31-21. That's one of the bigger wins in recent years. They got a playoff win last year, this year again. Knock it off Oconomowoc, 31-21. Colton Wilson from Wisports.net, appreciate him for contributing as always, and the Quick Trip and Wisconsin Dairy Game of the Week.
They'll continue what could be a three-level tour through the Classic Eight next week against McGuanago. On the other half of the bracket, it did go chalk. Verona got the victory over Kenosha Bradford, and Arrowhead Classic Eight co-champions along with Oconomowoc defeated Sussex Hamilton tonight 29-6.
Lauren Cox, our guy from the Hog, terrific rock station, Division II, 6th seed at Wastosa Central on the road at 3rd seed at Milton. We'll talk to him when we come back out of this timeout here on Football Friday Night. We got several reports to get to. We're going around the horn in about a half hour or so around the state and all the big games. We'll give you all the scoreboard and all that. We got a lot of reports to get to between now and then. Also, Travis Wilson stops by from Wisports.net. We'll bend his arm on a few things as well. For Dan Pfeiffer, this is Chuck Freeman, along with our producer, Spencer Williams, the King of Kohler. This is Football Friday Night.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Everett Larson from Sauk Prairie High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
Everett is in soccer and basketball at his school.
I like to compete. I'm a very competitive person, so when I get to compete alongside my friends, it's just really fun for me.
His coaches and community groups are pushing young students into future leadership roles, and Everett said he's growing in that department.
It's kind of built in me through my coaches, and at our high school in Sauk, we talk a lot about like building a culture, so we've been trying to implement that in our high school to like try and build leaders so the coaches don't have to do everything.
He enjoys FFA and 4-H and working on the farm, and volunteering's a big part of his daily routine too.
I think part of it's just how I was raised. My parents do a lot of volunteering, so I try to do that too. I don't know, I like to be busy, so the more I can do, the better I feel.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. On Saturday, November 9th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we will be having the 21st Annual Ladies Night at our Richland Center store only. 10 to 25% off on many items throughout the store. There will be food, games, prizes, and fun, and the first 100 customers receive a gift bag. So watch for ads, listen to the radio, and check us out on Facebook for this great night of fun at our Richland Center store only. Thanks for stopping in, and as always, we appreciate your business.
The Muscadet Mini Mart and Hunch Brothers Pizza team up to bring you the best option for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Making fresh pizza from cheesy breakfast pizza to the lunchtime hunk of pizza. And get a delicious 12-inch pizza and wings you can take home for dinner. All this comes with quality service, and you are treated like family. Get all this at Muscadet Mini Mart, along with top quality fuel. You can call in your order and have it ready for pickup. 739-3733, the Muscadet Mini Mart.
Harvest season is in full swing, and it's crucial to keep your equipment running smoothly. Arneson Service and Repair at Hill Point is here to help. Whether it's tractors, wagons, combines, or skid steers, if it's farm equipment, they'll fix it. From tire repairs and hydraulic hoses to oil changes, their skilled mechanics are ready to keep you working in the field. Call Arneson Service and Repair today, 986-4300, or visit arnesonrepair.com. Keep farming with Arneson's.
Wisconsin's forest landowners cut timber from their land for a variety of reasons. The timber is mature. Some plan a harvest as part of their management plan. For others, the harvest may be a salvage operation in response to an unexpected natural disaster, such as a fire or windstorm. Landowners have trusted Meister Log & Lumber since 1936. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber at 608-434-4413 today.
Welcome back to Football Friday Night. I'm Chuck Freeman. This is Dan Pfeiffer with me. And we are here every Friday night talking high school football with you, going around the state. And we're here throughout the playoffs right up to the state finals. All right, let's go to Lauren Cox from the Hog. He saw the Division II matchup between 6th seed at Wastosha Central on the road at 3rd seed at Milton. Milton wins 24-7 tonight, Lauren. Lauren is probably listening to his own radio station. He's probably listening to some classic rock right now.
Yeah.
He's not, He can't hear us. So
maybe some Judas Priest right now on the hog, I'm thinking.
All right, so let's move on. Maybe we'll hook back with him in a second. Adam Morse from ESPN Radio in La Crosse, he saw the Division IV third-seeded West Salem take on six-seeded Platteville, the Hillmen. Adam, how did this one come out?
Well, it was an interesting game. It was a doozy for sure. Platteville came out really strong in the first half, forced a couple of key West Salem turnovers, a lost fumble, and an interception. And they turned that into a 24-13 lead at the half. West Salem was certainly in trouble, but the defense is their calling card, and it came up big in the second half, holding the Platteville Hillmen just 3 points in the second half. Luke Baginski scored a 19-yard touchdown catch. Max Diegman, an 8-yard touchdown catch as well. And then a Evan Knoll 27-yard field goal with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter gave the Panthers a 30-27 lead, and they scored the final 17 points of the game to win by that 3-point margin. Luke Baginski had 191 yards on the ground on 29 carries. He had 4 more catches for 57 yards, 2 total touchdowns for the Panthers to give them the lead. The Platteville quarterback TJ Ping played an outstanding game. He had 221 yards and 3 touchdown passes all in the first half. He finishes the year with over 2,000 passing yards, but it comes up just a little shy as the West Salem defense stood strong, and now it sets up a matchup between Columbus and West Salem next week. Maybe two of the best 3 or 4 teams in Division IV in the state.
Good job, Aaron. Aaron Morse from ESPN Radio in La Crosse, West Salem, as a 3-seed, 30-27 over the Hillmen, a 6-seed out of the SWC.
As mentioned, Columbus defeated Arcadia out of the Cooley Conference tonight, 52-0, so a second straight Cooley Conference opponent for Columbus, but West Salem will probably give them much more of a challenge than Arcadia did.
Now our guy, Lauren Cox from the Hog, Division II, 6-seed at West Scotia Central on the road. It's a 3rd seed at Milton. Milton wins 24-7 over West Scotia. Let's give it a try again. Lauren, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, there we go. Lauren, tell us about Milton's win.
There we go. Yeah, so Milton was in pretty firm control through the course of this game, and large thanks to some turnovers from West Scotia Central. They fumbled on their first drive and gave it right back to the Red Hawks, and another fumble later in the first half. But it got to be about 17-0 at halftime, and from there, the Red Hawks could kind of just put it in cruise control in the second half. They got some big explosive passes going through the air. And for West Scotia, their star running back, Landon Taylor, is commit to Minnesota Duluth. He's a great player. He got a bunch of yards. They just couldn't finish drives in the end zone and ultimately fell short in this one.
Very good. Appreciate it. Milton wins 24-7. Lauren Cox from the Hog in Janesville.
And they will take on an Elkhorn team that shocked Monroe tonight, 17-14. Elkhorn came in with a 4-5 record. The Cheesemakers finished as undefeated Rock Valley champions, but their season is over, so it'll be the Elks and the Red Hawks in level 2.
Division 7, Ithaca, the 3rd seed. They were 9-0, facing 6-seeded Randolph. Ithaca wins 7-0. Doesn't sound like much of an exciting game. There's His music show on Saturday night, probably way more exciting than this game. Phil Nee from WRCO Radio in Richland Center, a 7-0 game, and Ithaca wins.
Boy, it was an instant classic, a hard-hitting game from start to finish. 0-0 at halftime, and both teams ran the ball a lot, so the game moved very quickly. Ithaca did not score until 6:18 remaining. Senior Wes Nelson got across on a 2-yard run. Balthazar Kaiser with the extra point. The Bulldogs also had to play most of the game without their leading running back, Wyatt Hilby, who's rushed for over 1,000 yards this year. He was injured in the game. The Bulldogs were able to dig deep, and they get a rematch with Johnson Creek, a team that they lost to on a late touchdown a year ago.
Very good. Phil Nee from WRCO. As Ithaca moves on to Division 7, as they win a 7-0 win over Randolph. Sounds like it was an exciting 7-0 game.
Yeah, but they're going to struggle if they're not going to have their top back against a very good Johnson Creek team. That was the only bracket in Division 7 that went chalk. You also had Kenosha St. Joseph defeating Cambria Friesland, so that's how that lines up in the bottom right corner of the D7 bracket.
I think we have Goldberg's music for this one. Do we have this lined up, Spencer? No, we don't. Maybe next time. Josh Goldberg from WCLO Radio. He called tonight. Maguana goes 42-6 win over Janesville Craig in Division One. This was going to be a tough one going in for the seventh-seeded Craig team, taking on second seed at McGuanago, Josh, but McGuanago handily wins.
Yeah, and it was actually, we thought, a positive thing for Janesville Craig, and they had a shot because McGuanago's 1,000-yard rusher was out due to an injury, but like any really good program, you learn that the Indians are pretty deep at various positions, so in comes Colton Lynch, the backup running back, runs for over 160 yards, two touchdowns, and really leads McGuanago's offense. Mason Kelly did a really masterful job, the quarterback for McGuanago. He ran for over 60 yards. He was, by my count, 10 for 10 unofficially passing, but just, you know, little 1-2-yard dump-offs and sweeps around the end, and that was really effective for the Indians. Their defense didn't allow Craig to do much. Paul Platts did throw for over 200 yards for Janesville Craig. He was intercepted twice. Braden Tyler, the senior, had over 100 yards rushing, including a 48-yard touchdown. That was the Cougars' only score. They also had a field goal blocked. But tough end of the season for the Cougars, but McGuanago gets to move on, and they do anticipate they'll have that young man, their starting running back, back next week.
Very good, Josh. Josh Goldberg checking in with us. Appreciate him from terrific radio station WCLO Radio in Janesville. McGuanago 42-6 over Janesville Craig.
Josh referring to one half of the M&M combination. Mason Radabicki, the running back who ran for over 1,200 yards in the regular season, along with Mason Kelly, the quarterback. The Verona bracket went chalk. Again, McGuanago gets Racine Case because they knocked off Oconomowoc. Lurking in that bracket that might give McGuanago trouble if they can get past Verona is Arrowhead.
All right, Steve Prestigard from Queen Bee Radio, the Gorilla Monsoon of the southwestern part of the state. Division 7, Blackhawk Warren, a 6-seed, Potosi Cassville, a 3-seed, a rematch of last week's big Six Rivers title game, won by Potosi Cassville, and they win again this week, 7-6 over Blackhawk Warren. Steve, tell us about this one.
Well, there's really about three plays to talk about, and that's it. Second play of the game after a fumble, they pushed the ball back to the Potosi Cassville 11. Joe Haas ran the ball 89 yards for a touchdown. Chieftains went up 7-0. They got the ball back, but then fumbled at their own 15-yard line. Blackhawk Warren recovered. Owen Sefford ran in for a touchdown, but they didn't get the two-point conversion. So halfway through the first quarter, 7-6, and that was it. An interception deep in the red zones by Potosi Cassville, about 5 minutes left in the game, and the Chieftains were able to run out the remaining 5 minutes or so of the game. And so the number one ranked but third seeded Chieftains beat the third ranked but sixth seeded Warriors tonight.
Very good. Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you next week. Steve Prestigard from Queen Bee Radio. Potosi Cassville wins 7-6 over Blackhawk Warren.
Two very different looking halves of that banger bracket. In the top half of the bracket, you had 132 total points as Banger defeated Iowa Grant 49-14 and River Ridge defeated Cashton 55-14. That's a 5-4. Meanwhile, Potosi Cassville gets this win 7-6. They'll face a Cochran Fountain City team that defeated Wazeka Steuben Seneca 12-7. So just 32 points in the bottom half of that bracket versus 132 in the top half.
Cochran Fountain City, better known as the CFC to the locals out in northwestern Wisconsin. Whitefish Bay and Port Washington, Division 3. Former North Shore opponents, Port Washington, the 6th seed, Whitefish Bay, the 3. Whitefish Bay, the Blue Dukes, win it 21-17 over Port Washington. Our guy, Mitch Merch from the Ozaki Press, joining us right now. Tell us about the Blue Dukes getting this one.
Hey, guys, this is actually Port Washington won 27-21.
Oh, we had the score flipped. Okay.
Yeah, Port was down 21-8 at halftime, and they turned this thing around the second half, outscored Whitefish Bay 19-0. A couple key plays, they got a Harry Bartolotti fumbled for Whitefish Bay. He was kind of their whole team tonight, and it sounds like much of the year running back. Really, really good back. He fumbled. Colton Struckman recovered at Whitefish Bay's 29 with 8 minutes and 37 seconds left. That was and Port went into for the game-winning score. They started to work on the clock. They used up 5 minutes 44 seconds, and they got in on a short Colton Struckman run. And Bay had blocked 2 points, extra points in a row, so it was 27-21, and they had a couple chances the ball back to move, but they couldn't do it. Port's defense stopped them in the second half. And Port moves on 27-21. to they play at White at Notre Dame next week, which beat Pewaukee 50-7.
Very good. Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Barrett's from Ozaki Press. As he mentioned, Port Washington, 21-17 over Whitefish Bay.
A lot of folks think that bracket is going to break down to Notre Dame against Grafton and think that could be the de facto state championship. But I'll tell you what, Chuck, Port Washington and Plymouth, who goes up against Grafton next week, they've got something to say about that, and they'll try and say it next week when they face those two teams in Level 2.
I always say, after Level 1, you separate the men from the boys. Level 2, it's game on. Tony Giordana joins us from the Score in Appleton, our affiliate. In Division One, Fox Valley Association, the rivals, Appleton North and Kimberly. North a seventh seed, Kimberly a second seed. Odd to see Kimberly only a second seed, but they flexed their muscles again tonight, 35-16 over Appleton North. Tony, did North give them much of a game?
Well, they did at first. Appleton North actually put the first points of the ball game on the scoreboard, but on the very next play after they scored, there was an 88-yard kick return for a touchdown by Carter Howard. So Kimberly answered immediately. It must have woke up the papermakers. But from that point on, even though Appleton North scored first, it really was not much competition. Kimberly had over 200 yards of total offense. 180 of those came on the ground and four rushing touchdowns as well. Kimberly's doing this thing offensively where Keegan Plew, Marcus Doucette, and Brady Bell, three of their main running backs after they're just getting Marcus to set back from injury from last week. So this is a team that is now starting to show a little of a wildcat formation. They'll put any of those three running backs I just mentioned out there to get the snap and then do something with it. And that, to me, is more dangerous than Kimberly was already beforehand. So Kimberly looks good. They're moving on to Level 2, and they get to host Nina, the team that gave them their lone loss of the season a few short weeks ago.
That's right. Nina won on the last second field goal. Good job, Tony. Giordana from the Score in Appleton. Kimberly 35-16 over Appleton North.
And keep in mind, that game between Kimberly and Nina was at Nina in week 7. So now Kimberly gets to play host to Nina. They are the 2 seed. Nina is the 3 seed. You've also got Muskego and Franklin in that strong Franklin bracket. It's going to be a fun one next week, Chuck.
All right, let's get Tyler Dictanis from Queen Bee Radio. Division 6, Lancaster to the 2 seed, 29-7 over 7th seeded Wesby. Tyler, give us about 60 seconds on this game if you can.
So Nolan Hanke had two rushing touchdowns for the Lancaster Flying Arrows tonight. Nolan Wolf with one rushing touchdown on the game. Wolf also had a passing touchdown to Brendan Gildersleeve to cap off all of Lancaster's scoring. Devin Brown, the only touchdown for Wesby on the matchup. The big storyline coming out of the game, though, is that late in the fourth quarter, quarterback Nolan Wolf of Lancaster had to be stretchered off the field after a late hit out of bounds on the Wesby sideline. The game was stopped for about 10 to 15 minutes, and the senior quarterback and the catalyst for the Lancaster offense looking to be out for an extended period of time. We don't know the significance of what the injury is, but a devastating loss for Lancaster coming off that big win, and then a rematch with Cuba City in the Level 2 playoff coming next week.
Wow, that'll be a great one. And, geez, too bad for the injury, man. They're going to need him as well. The Arrows, though, win 29, despite the injury, 29-7 over Wesby. Tyler Dictanis from Queen Bee Radio.
And, you know, Lancaster has to look at the Cambridge bracket and like their chances after seeing that Cambridge lost to Belleville, a 1 losing to an 8 tonight. Not only that, Belleville shut out Cambridge 27-0. So now Lancaster, the highest seed remaining in the Cambridge bracket, although they're still going to have to try and get past a very tough Cuba City team next week.
All right, in about 15 minutes, we'll go through the scores of the big matchups in Level 1 in the first round of the high school football playoffs still to come. We got to get a report from the Menominee-Monona Grove game. And also coming out of the break, the matchup between Crandon and Bondiwell in Division 6. Also want to hear from Marshfield as well. This is Chuck Friedman, Dan Pfeiffer, Football Friday Night. Because when you're standing all so near, I kind of lose my mind.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Blake Bransell of Portage High School, for her commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
Blake likes high school sports for the sense of family and community that it creates. She captains the cross-country team and is the president of her local FFA chapter and says FFA has done a lot for her.
I've seen that my speaking ability has improved immensely, that my overall knowledge of agriculture that extends just beyond my beef farm has improved, and really the connections that I've made with people that maybe I normally wouldn't have made.
Blake is involved in various volunteer activities and said volunteering takes on a whole new meaning for her.
Volunteering my ideas and my inspirations and my resources to get the most out of something that's given me so much, giving back and making sure that those people feel appreciated for all the things that they've done for me.
She's part of a sixth generation family farm and plans to study to be a dentist.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
The Muscadet Mini Mart and Hunch Brothers Pizza team up to bring you the best option for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Making fresh pizza from cheesy breakfast pizza to the lunchtime hunk of pizza. And get a delicious 12-inch pizza and wings you can take home for dinner. All this comes with quality service and you are treated like family. Get all this at Muscadet Mini Mart along with top quality fuel. You can call in your order and have it ready for pickup. 739-3733, the Muscadet Mini Mart.
Harvest season is in full swing, and it's crucial to keep your equipment running smoothly. Arneson Service and Repair in Hill Point is here to help. Whether it's tractors, wagons, combines, or skid steers, if it's farm equipment, they'll fix it. From tire repairs and hydraulic hoses to oil changes, their skilled mechanics are ready to keep you working in the field. Call Arneson Service and Repair today, 986-4300, or visit arnesonrepair.com. Keep farming with Arnesons.
Meister Log and Lumber Company would like to remind all landowners with timber property that their trees are a valuable asset. You can rely on Meister Log and Lumber Company to help you manage your property's timber value for now and years to come. They've been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management staff will help you meet your timber's potential. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. On Saturday, November 9th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we will be having the 21st Annual Ladies Night at our Richland Center store only. 10 to 25% off on many items throughout the store. There will be food, games, prizes, and fun, and the first 100 customers receive a gift bag. So watch for ads, listen to the radio, and check us out on Facebook for this great night of fun at our Richland Center store only. Thanks for stopping in, and as always, we appreciate your business.
Hi, I'm Tom from the People's Community Bank in Richland Center. Have you been thinking about your dream home for some time now? We can help that dream home become a reality. With customized home loan options to fit your needs, we're sure to find a solution that works for you. Stop by our office in downtown Richland Center or visit us online at thepcb.bank to start our easy and simple home loan process. That's what we call simply good banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We stand ready to help you in planning a final farewell to your loved one that is healing and meaningful. The days following a loss are never easy, but we can all find comfort in knowing we are not alone. A funeral and visitation are a positive contribution to the grieving process, providing a formal time to reflect, love, forgive, and find comfort in our loss.
Oh, anytime we come back with Night Ranger, it's a good night. Good to have you along. Week one of the high school football playoffs, level one, as they call it. And we still have three more levels to go before we get to state. My name is Chuck Freeman. That's Dan Pfeiffer. And Spencer Williams, the king of Kohler, he calls himself. Actually, I call him that. But he does a great job spinning the dials for us each and every Friday night. All right, Dan, we're going to get to two more reporters here, and then Travis Wilson will join us. Let's get the Division II. Six-seeded Menominee made a long road trip down 94 to face third seed at Monona Grove. Chad Zutter joining us right now. Monona Grove wins 34-31. Why do I feel like Menominee goes like 300 miles for a playoff game?
Yeah, it was a long drive down to Monona Grove, but Monona Grove will have a much longer drive next week when they take on Rice Lake. That's got to be about a four-hour drive.
God.
This was about a three-hour one, but yeah, it was a great game. Menominee just a little too short at the end, and I think a couple turnovers early on in the second quarter kind of cost them.
Very good. But, I mean, you look at this game, three-point game. Was it a field goal at the end? Was there some dramatics at the end?
Hey, Travis.
Well, Menominee was actually down 28-7 coming right out of halftime.
Wow.
Monona Grove led 21-7 at half, and they opened up second half with a big play, 64-yard touchdown run by their quarterback, Thompson, to make it 28-7. It kind of looked like they were going to run away with it at one point. But Menominee, they held tough. They kind of dug deep. They got back within 5, 28-23 with a couple touchdowns. Touchdown run by D.J. Butler, a sophomore running back, and then the connection of Brady Johnson and Isaac Ellis and the senior connection. They've connected 13 times this year with 10:48 to go in the fourth quarter. Made that score 28-23. Monona Grove, you know, they got a good offense. Thompson, their quarterback, is darn good. Haybeck, their running back, he had a couple touchdowns tonight as well. They've had a touchdown with 2:26 to go to make it 34-23. Menominee turned around, three trick plays on one drive at the end of the game, a halfback pass. They had a double, I can't even remember the what you call it, another trick play, and they rolled right down the field, got within three, and just couldn't get the onside kick, and that's how they made it 34-31.
All right, very good. Thank you, man. And we'll talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you down the week. All right, very good. Menominee goes to Monona Grove and loses 34-31 in a thrilling game. Menominee rolled back and won that game. That would have been an incredible comeback, down three touchdowns.
Yeah, Monona Grove goes up against Rice Lake next week. They will get the winner of whoever wins that game will get the winner between New Richmond and Holman in level three.
All right, our final report. We saved the best for last. The franchise, Sports Radio 96.5. Brad Williams saw Bondiwell defeat Crandon 35-12 in Division 6. Bondiwell's the two seed. Bondiwell going to make some noise here in the postseason, Brad.
Yeah, Bondiwell looking really good in the regular season, although tonight they struggled a little bit. It was Crandon, actually, believe it or not, that got things going. They scored on the first drive of the game. They ran off 8 minutes off the clock, 17 plays, and had a Cruz Paul-Bickey touchdown run of 6 yards that gave them that 6-0 lead. And then everything was Bondiwell-style football from there as they were able to score on the deep threat. The difference in the game, Crandon wasn't able to make any play go any more than about 10 or 11 yards at a crack. And Bondiwell, they just throw the ball around and have explosive plays and a lot of playmakers. And so by the time Bondiwell was up 3 scores, Crandon just did not have enough time to put anything together, despite scoring in the fourth quarter to add one more. That was a second touchdown by Paul Bickey. But yeah, Bondiwell's looking pretty good, although next week they should start getting the tested real strong with Auburndale and possibly Coleman on the horizon. So some good football to come for the Bears, but 9-1, they're looking good.
Very good. Thanks, Brad, from the franchise, Sports Radio 965, and Bondiwell wins 35-12 over Crandon. Bondiwell moves on to the second round, Dan.
They'll take on Auburndale next week in Level 2. The winner of that matchup will take on the winner of Coleman and Abbotsford in Level 3.
Wow, we got through 26 reporters.
Who?
26 reporters there.
That is impressive, Chuck.
Scoreboard coming up in about 10 minutes. Travis Wilson from WizSports.net joining us right now. Travis, appreciate it as always. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, you bet, guys.
All right, Travis, we have to talk a little bit about two teams that are not in the postseason, Greenfield and Madison West. And there was some interesting dialogue this week because those who track such things in their spreadsheets and whatnot were of the belief that the tiebreaker should have fell for Greenfield and Madison West. And I know you had posted something about it as well on X this week. Tell us the story and where things stand as level one is going on tonight.
Long story short, I feel, and many people feel, that Greenfield and Madison West should be in the playoffs. Pewaukee and Edgewood, I believe, should have been out. What happened is there was a tiebreaker applied Friday night when the WII was figuring out the qualifying field that I believe was figured incorrectly based on the language itself and based on the previous application of that tiebreaker criteria. I don't know why it wasn't done correctly. I don't know why it wasn't done correctly when it was brought to their attention. I was up there Friday night, actually, and brought it to their attention, and they felt like they had it correct and has continued to say that they feel like they have it correct and had it correct. But again, Based on the language, I don't think so. I would disagree. Based on past precedent, I would disagree. The schools involved were aware very quickly that they maybe were negatively impacted by it. Greenfield and Madison West, they appealed to the WIAA, which was denied. And quite honestly, I think the WIAA is fortunate that those schools did not pursue litigation, because I think they would have won. Now, that would have meant Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, if they had filed for a temporary restraining order, that there would have been a whole bunch of playoff games that would have been changed. And I think that was a big reason that those schools did not pursue it to that level, knowing the kind of impact it would have had on four divisions of the playoffs. It would have been chaos. It would have been a nightmare. They ultimately would have been right, I feel. But, I don't know. It's a really confusing and even frustrating situation, to be quite honest with you. And that's kind of where things stand.
Well, Travis, obviously there was a lot of complaining about six-seeded Oconomowoc getting a sixth seed, champions, one of the champions of the Class Gate. But they go down to Racine Case tonight and get beat. But you got to give Racine Case credit to win. Getting this win tonight over Oconomowoc, that's a big win for the Eagles.
Yeah, especially considering they won their first ever playoff game last year. It's just not a program that's had a lot of success, but they've got it turned around quickly under Anton Graham down there. Heck of a job getting things turned around. I do think we have to be careful. Just because Oconomowoc lost doesn't mean that their seeding was justified. I feel, and I think everybody feels, that Oconomowoc should have been seeded much higher than a six, probably a two or three at worst. But that's a whole different conversation. But regardless, really impressive win by Racine Case. And quite honestly, as I was looking over the scoreboard, I'll tally it all up tomorrow and do a full breakdown. But there really wasn't that many upsets tonight, it didn't seem like, by seed or by just what we thought. So, I don't know. Ultimately, I guess things kind of played out as maybe they deserved to.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned with Oconomowoc, there's a little bit of chicken and egg, because if you get a higher seed, you probably face a lesser opponent than someone like Ace, and maybe you have a better chance of getting out of the first round. But you can play that game a lot and not really come up with any particular solutions. I'm wondering, Travis, as we talk about the computer and how it determines things, if the only thing I could determine when looking at why Oconomowoc may have fallen that far is that maybe strength of schedule is overplayed in the computer formula, in the sense that Oconomowoc, in their conference crossover between the Classic Eight and the Greater Metro Conference, played a Brookfield Central team that just barely made it into the playoffs, whereas Maguanago lost to Marquette, but Marquette is a number one seed in Division One, whereas Brookfield Central, as mentioned, is a number eight seed in Division Two. I mean, there are some armchair quarterbacks out there who are trying to kind of figure out what is the computer taking into account. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think one of the components of the formula is your historical playoff winning percentage. Going back, I think it's 3 years, trying to identify, you know, if you're a really strong program year after year, and you play a tough schedule year after year, you know, giving some weight to that. Now, that's not a huge part of the formula or the criteria. That's about the only thing you can kind of knock or kind of walk on. But ultimately, regardless of that, I don't know how it spit out that Oconomowoc was a six seed. Their schedule was good enough, especially playing in the Classic Eight. Classic Eight dominated, for the most part, those crossover games against Greater Metro. So a head-scratcher for sure, but ultimately you got to win. You got to win against good football teams at some point, and whether you know they would have got an easier game or not, they would have played good football teams at some point.
Travis, how about 7th seed at Winnebago Lutheran after getting blasted by 30 last week by Springs? Comes back and wins 21-20. Springs went for a two-point conversion at the end and failed on it. But a couple of things here. You know, they revenge a 30-point loss, and also Bob Hyland's 50-plus year career, one of the winningest coaches in the Americas. His career comes to an end tonight.
A completely unexpected way for Coach Hyland to go out. I mean, as you said, winning last week so convincingly and then to lose your last game that you coach in that fashion, very unexpected. It does close out an incredible career for Coach Hyland. You know, winning this coach in state history, one of the winningest coaches in the country all time, not the way that, you know, quite honestly, I would have liked to seen him go out. I'm not saying I would prefer that he wins a state championship going out and riding into the sunset, but, you know, that's kind of a bittersweet end to a coaching career to end it that way.
Tough one for sure. Travis, about 60 seconds here, real quick. Staying in Division Six, thoughts on Belleville knocking off Cambridge, one of our lone 8-1 tonight.
Yeah, Cambridge was undefeated. Now, I don't think their conference was especially strong. I didn't think they would have had that much trouble with Belleville, to be honest with you. But, you know, that happens. It's not unprecedented. In fact, every couple of years there's an 8 that beats a 1. So, you know, it happens. You're surprised when it happens. But ultimately, just like with the Springs thing, I mean, you can't predict high school football. Kids are young. Kids are – you never know how they're going to react and all the other things that are going on. So, you know, we celebrate the upsets. And that's just one of the bigger ones tonight, obviously.
Very good. Thanks, Travis. We'll talk to you next week. Travis Wilson from WISSports.net. Follow him on Twitter at TravisWSN. Dan Pfeiffer and myself, Chuck Freeman, we're coming right back here in a moment or two, and we will go through the scoreboard, give you some of the upsets, talk to you about some of these games as we close out the show here on Football Friday Night.
Harvest season is in full swing, and it's crucial to keep your equipment running smoothly. Artisan Service and Repair at Hillpoint is here to help. Whether it's tractors, wagons, combines, or skid steers, if it's farm equipment, they'll fix it. From tire repairs and hydraulic hoses to oil changes, their skilled mechanics are ready to keep you working in the field. Call Artisan Service and Repair today, 986-4300, or visit artisanrepair.com. Keep farming with Artisans.
Landowners manage a variety of assets every day. Trees on your property are an asset you shouldn't take for granted. The staff of Meister Log and Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management team can help you make the decisions that will be in the best interest of you and your trees. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. On Saturday, November 9th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we will be having the 21st Annual Ladies Night at our Richland Center store only. 10 to 25% off on many items throughout the store. There will be food, games, prizes, and fun, and the first 100 customers receive a gift bag. So watch for ads, listen to the radio, and check us out on Facebook for this great night of fun at our Richland Center store only. Thanks for stopping in, and as always, we appreciate your business.
The Muscadet Mini Mart and Hunch Brothers Pizza team up to bring you the best option for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Making fresh pizza from cheesy breakfast pizza to the lunchtime hunk of pizza. And get a delicious 12-inch pizza and wings you can take home for dinner. All this comes with quality service and you are treated like family. Get all this at Muscadet Mini Mart, along with top quality fuel. You can call in your order and have it ready for pickup. 739-3733, the Muscadet Mini Mart.
Take a little breather here. We got through all 26 reporters. Talked to our guy Travis Wilson as well from WISSports.net. What say we go around the state and check out some of the scores here on level one of the high school football playoffs? My name is Chuck Freeman, and that is Dan Pfeiffer. Let's start in the Division One area. Wanakee bracket. Wanakee defeated Wausau West 28-14. Middleton 19-14 over Chippewa Falls. Madison Memorial, 33-21, defeating Stevens Point. It was D.C. Everest over Hudson, 50-21. The Franklin bracket, Franklin, 42-27 over Fond du Lac. Muskego, 42-7, defeating Oak Creek. It was Nina, 42-8 over Milwaukee Hamilton. Kimberly, down to Appleton North, 35-16. Verona blanked Kenosha Bradford, 48-0 in the Verona bracket, also in the Verona bracket. Arrowhead over Sussex Hamilton, 29-6. Racine Case knocks off Oconomowoc, 31-21. It was Maguatago, 42-6 over Janesville Craig.
Biggest upset in Division One was that DC Everest over Hudson, at least seed-wise. Congratulations to the Evergreens. They do move on to take on Madison Memorial. Let's head to Division Two.
I did not do Marquette bracket.
Oh, sorry about
Marquette,
Chuck.
Marquette bracket. I was wondering why you were jumping in.
You went kind of in a circle. I was thinking you were going to go in a different direction.
Marquette bracket. You'll get your turn in four scores here. Marquette defeats Milwaukee Marshall 63-0. De Pere over Rufus King 45-3. Sheboygan North 42-8 over Milwaukee Reagan. Bayport 56-14 over Milwaukee Tech. Dan.
I apologize profusely for my rudeness there, Chuck. Let's move to Division Two. I'm just so excited about all of these scores. I can't help myself. New Richmond bracket in Division Two. It was the Tigers of New Richmond getting a victory over Marshfield tonight, 30-10. They will move on to face Holman. Also, it was Monona Grove over Menominee, 34-31. Good contest. We talked with Chad Zutter of Mustangs TV about that one earlier. Next up from Monona Grove will be Rice Lake out of the Big Rivers Conference. They beat up on DeForest tonight, 56-22. Kakana bracket. It was the Galloping Ghosts of Kakana over Pulaski. 45-13. They will face Beaver Dan, the Golden Beavers, co-champs of the East Central Conference, defeat Menasha on the road tonight, 35-21. West De Pere gets a victory over Oshkosh North and scores a bunch of points in the process. 60-34 was your final score there. They'll face another team that scored a bunch of points tonight, Sun Prairie East. They defeated Ishwaubenon tonight, 55-20. Lake Geneva Badger bracket. It was Lake Geneva Badger over Union Grove, 51-22. They'll face Racine Horlick next week after they knocked off Burlington, 28-14. Milton over Westosha Central, 24-7. Next up for the Red Hawks will be the Elkhorn Elks, who upset Monroe as a 7-over a 17-14. Slinger bracket. It will be the Owls of Slinger going up against Wauwatosa East after Slinger knocked off Brookfield Central 43-7. And Tosa East won the crosstown rivalry game against Tosa West 21-14. And it was Homestead over Hartford 28-8. The Highlanders will go up against Germantown in an old school North Shore conference battle. Germantown now in the greater metro, but they defeated another old school North Shore foe in Cedarburg as a 7-over-2 tonight, 13-12.
All right, the Medford bracket in Division 3. Medford 28-7 defeating Lakeland. Also, it was Fox Valley Lutheran, 44-41 over Wausau East. La Crosse Logan took care of Wapaka, 42-28. And Onalaska got by Merrill, 13-8. Grafton bracket. Grafton blanks Milwaukee North, 48-0. It was Plymouth, 49-21 over Luxembourg Casco. Port Washington downs Whitefish Bay, 27-21. Notre Dame, 50-7 over Pewaukee. Let's move over to the New Berlin West bracket. And we call these their bracket because that's the number one seed in the bracket. Yeah. New Berlin West is the number one seed. So we're saying their bracket, 42-0 over Pius. It was Milwaukee Obama falling to Greendale, 49-14. Wisconsin Lutheran, 49-10 over Cudahy. And Martin Luther, 48-0 over Milwaukee Washington. Catholic Memorial bracket. Catholic Memorial defeats New Berlin Eisenhower, 42-6. It was Reedsburg over Whitnall, 62-48. Waterford slides by Stoughton, 20-14. And Mount Horeb Barneville routes Sauk Prairie, 36-6.
Martin Luther gets a victory tonight. At least one of our alma maters in this room got a victory this evening. We went 1-for-3. Let's move to Division 4, Freedom Bracket. It was the Irish of Freedom over St. Croix Central tonight, 28-7. They'll face Prescott next week. Also, Ellsworth, a 6-over-3. They defeat Mosinee, 28-21. They go up against Baldwin Woodville, a good Blackhawks team, 58-21. The Blackhawks defeated Oconto Falls tonight. Winneconne Bracket. Winneconne will go up against Xavier next week. It was the Wolves of Winneconne over Spencer Williams, Kohler, Sheboygan, Lutheran, Christian, Blue Bombers, 35-13. Also, it was Xavier defeating Little Chute, 21-14. Berlin will go up against Mayville next week. It was Berlin over Campbellsport tonight, 35-7, and Mayville over Waupun, 42-6. Aquinas bracket. The Blue Golds of Aquinas over Edgewood, 14-10 tonight. They'll take on Lodi next week. That should be a good game. Lodi over Wisconsin Dells, 37-20. West Salem defeats Platteville tonight, 30-27. Next up for the Panthers, Columbus. They shut out Arcadia, 52-0. Delavan Darien wins as a 5-over-4 in the Racine St. Catherine. Catherine's bracket, 28-25. They will get Racine St. Cats next week. Also a 6-over-3, Evansville over Edgerton. They shut them out, 21-0. Lake Mills defeats St. Francis tonight as well. They'll get Evansville next week, 57-6.
All right, let's go to Division 5. St. Croix Falls bracket. St. Croix Falls, the Saints, 42-8 over Elk Mound. Wittenberg Burnhamwood, 48-0 over Barron. Stanley Boyd down Spooner, 42-6, and Northwestern over Colby, 40-6. Wrightstown bracket. Wrightstown 64-18 over Sturgeon Bay. Southern Door defeats New Holstein 24-7. Kewaunee 35-0, blanking Brilliant. Keel routes Peshtigo 49-8. Stratford bracket. Stratford 48-14 defeating Houstacon. Also was Amherst over Oostburg 35-12. Lake Country Lutheran 42-6 defeating Watertown Lutheran Prep. And Winnebago Lutheran upsets Springs 21-20. Prairie du Chien bracket. Prairie du Chien wins. The Blackhawks win 48-0 over Southwestern. Also, it was Brookfield Academy defeating Racine Lutheran 31-28. New Glarus and Milwaukee Academy of Science. This one went back and forth, and the Novas from Academy of Science win it 46-35. Darlington blasts Richland Center 42-14. These are all the bigger matchups. We didn't go through all the scores because there's many, many of them, but these are the bigger matchups.
Let's move to Division 6, where Regis, many people think they're the favorite in Division 6 coming in. They defeated Fall Creek tonight. They got a challenge, though, 29-28. They'll get Luther next week. Also, Grantsburg over Chitek Weyerhauser, 49-12. Next up for Grantsburg will be the Buffaloes of Mondovi. Coleman bracket. Coleman defeats Wyawega Fremont by the final score of 63-29. They'll face Abbotsford next week. Also, it'll be Bonduelle taking on Auburndale after Bonduelle got a 35-14 win over Crandon. Belleville, an 8-seed, defeats a 1-seed in Division 6. They knock off Cambridge, who came in with a 9-0 undefeated record. Belleville shut them out even. 27-0 was your final score there. They'll get Marshall a 5-4. Marshall wins on the road tonight, 31-7 over Poinette. Also, it was Cuba City over Mineral Point. This was a good game. 14-13 next up for Cuba City will be Lancaster. The Flying Arrows defeat Westby 29-7. Cedar Grove Belgium bracket. The Rockets of Cedar Grove Belgium over Valders 21-14. They'll face Howards Grove, who got a win on the road at Partyville tonight 26-15. And it was Lomira defeating Mishicot 46-0. Don't know who they're facing yet. That's the one score on the scoreboard we haven't been able to find. Reedsburg and Manitowoc Lutheran trying to figure that one out.
Lomira was my pick in Division 7.
Yes.
You have Regis, I bet you.
Yes. Most of the panel picked Regis. 12 people on the panel picked Regis. You were the only one to take Lomira among those expert picks, so-called experts. Trust me, I don't feel like an expert, on wisports.net.
Guess what my hometown is?
Let me guess.
Well, it's Greendale, but I live in Lomira.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of the schools I do PA for, I can't help it. Like New Berlin West, they may have ended up in my Division 2.
Well, here's the thing is... doing these predictions on games. Now, I remember back in 1998, I picked against a coach, and his team was having a bad year, and I picked the other team to win. And we were doing picks on a show in Fond du Lac, and the coach, before the game, said, "Chuck, I was disappointed you picked us to lose this game." And from that moment on, I was like, "God, we shouldn't be picking these games. We shouldn't." But you know what? That's fine. I mean, I don't have any problem with it. We're picking the state champion and all that. So I made sure I picked like all my home teams as winning a state championship.
We've got some D7 and some 8 player to get through, Chuck, too. Do you want to try and hammer through as many of those as we can? We're running out of time on the show here, too.
Division 7, Eau Claire Regis defeats Fall Creek 29.
That was Division 6.
That's Division 7. I got Division 7 on mine.
You know what? We'll direct folks to WIAAWI.org.
Yeah.
We did get a score, by the way, also on that Reedsville Manitowoc Lutheran game as well.
62-48.
That's why it took so long.
62-48. My bad. I thought we were done with the scoreboard. That's why I was ad-libbing.
Yeah. No, we do have D7. We'll do some technical servicing on Chuck's computer box over there, his ENIAC machine there,
so we can see the rest of the scores. Because my team went in. I thought that was at the end.
Spring Valley, Glenwood City, Pepinalma, Boyceville, Edgar, Shiocton, Lourdes Academy, and Hilbert, winners on one half of the D7 bracket, Bangor, River Ridge, Potosi, Cassville, Cochrane, Fountain City, Kenosha, St. Joseph, Cambria, Friesland, Ithaca, and Johnson Creek went on the other half of the D7 bracket, winners in 8-player, Northwood, Solon Springs, Clayton, Lena, St. Thomas, Aquinas, Elkhart, Lake Glen Beulah, Owen Withy, McDonald Central, Highland, and North Crawford.
That's right. 20 years ago, they did add Division 7.
Yes.
And 5 years ago, 8-player football championships.
Be a fan, Chuck.
All right. Chuck Freeman, Dan Pfeiffer, Football Friday Night.
C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." This is Darren Klingeman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to savor the moments you have with your family and friends, leaving you with few regrets in the end. And when the time comes to celebrate a life well lived, We'll be ready to support and serve you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Hi, I'm Laura from the People's Community Bank in Richland Center. Our dedicated team is here to ensure that your banking experience is refreshingly simple. We've invested in the tools and technology necessary to enable you to do your banking on your terms. From agriculture and business loans to checking and savings accounts, we're sure to have the right banking solutions to fit your needs. That's what we call Simply Good Banking. Stop by to see us at any of our six area locations today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Football Friday Night on WRCO is sponsored by Richland County Bank, Walsh's Ace Hardware, Muscadet Mini Mart, Arneson Service.